Hey, it's so good to be with you as we're continuing in this series, Cross-Examination. We've been looking at the trial of Jesus, kind of different parts of that trial along the way. And tonight, the part we're going to look at is the silence of Jesus. But before we get to that, I got to admit to you, I'm not very good at staying silent when something is wrong and I'm right. Yeah, sounds real quiet, doesn't it? Can anyone else relate to needing to be correct? Anybody? Are you going to leave me alone? It's me and Phil. Okay, Gene. Right? And especially when something is wrong and you just know it's wrong, like I have this urge within me to speak up, to correct that wrong, to make it right. It especially happens on this text thread that I'm in with two of my other buddies. A lot of sports talk and a lot of nonsense, but one of them is often wrong. And I just feel like I always have to correct him. And he's like, why do you always correct me? And I'm like, it's because you're wrong. And because you're wrong, we want the truth to come out. And so often, it can be annoying, right? And we all know this know-it-all person. They're probably sitting next to you tonight, right? Certainly can't be you. But this idea of correcting wrongs when they're right, and we can joke about it and laugh about it, and it can be annoying, but there are times where it's really important that we speak up, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Listen to these words from Proverbs 31. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those who are being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they get justice. I don't know if you brought your Bibles with you tonight, but I would like you to go home, if you didn't bring your Bible, and underline this verse, maybe highlight it, put some stars around it, circle it, maybe even write it on a sticky note and put it on your bathroom mirror or in your car so that you see this, because it's really important. As followers of Jesus, we are called to speak up for those who have no voice. We are called to speak up for the helpless and the poor. We are called to seek after justice where there is injustice in our world. And we know that there are broken places all around us. Our world is filled with brokenness. It's filled with injustice. But as those who follow Jesus, as those who are waiting for him to come again to make everything right, as we're waiting, we're called to go into those places and not just kind of look at them and hope it maybe gets better and that we get to escape off to heaven someday. That's not what it's about. And we saw that pain, right? That hurt in the voices of Jody and Joel as they're trying to get justice for their daughter. And we can all think of experiences in our own lives where something was just wrong and we felt like we needed to speak up. We were even compelled to do that. Because we know it's not right. And when we know something is broken, how can we just sit there and not say anything at all? And I think that's what makes tonight's scene with Jesus and Pilate so strange. Because Jesus is innocent, right? Everybody knows that Jesus is innocent. Even as he's gone through this sham trial so far, they've tried to find witnesses and others who could make up stories about Jesus, and none of it was working out because there was nothing that they could say against him. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. That's really clear as you make your way through the text tonight. Even Pilate's wife, she has this horrible dream, and she comes to Pilate, and she's begging him, would you just let him go? Don't have anything to do with this innocent man. And yet Jesus doesn't say a word. He doesn't speak out about this great injustice that's going on against him. In our culture, in our court system, we actually have the right to not have to say anything. You know that it's called pleading the what? The fifth. You didn't even need the slide. Dean was right when he said you're extra smart at Oak Hill. You can plead the fifth. Yeah, good answer. Right? It's in regards to the Fifth Amendment to our Constitution that says you don't have to offer testimony that would incriminate yourself. And that's kind of a good thing, I guess, but it's sort of interesting when you put the fifth into practice, because when you plead the fifth, you're really kind of saying, I'm guilty, I just don't want to admit it. And so socially, when someone pleads the fifth, immediately, what do we think about that person? Like, they're guilty, right? If they weren't, they would speak up. If they were innocent, they would speak up. In 2005, one of the baseball players that I love, Mark McGwire, Big Mac, you remember him? He was a home run guy, made the record and all that. And in 2005, he was brought before this special counsel. They were investigating the Belco steroid scandal. And he was brought before this counsel, and they said, Mark, did you take steroids? And he says, I plead the fifth. And immediately everyone went, of course you took steroids. Your head was this big and now it's this big. Your arms were this big and now they're this big. Of course you did. And wouldn't you know, a few years later, he would admit to taking steroids. But then he had something about how they didn't help him hit home runs or whatever. So as Jesus is before Pilate, we are confronted by silence. We're confronted by his silence. And the question is why, right? Why didn't Jesus speak up? Why didn't he defend himself? Why did he allow these people to say these things about him that were not true? Why did he allow this sham trial to continue? Why did he not speak up? And it's strange, right? It's odd. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around how this was all going down. It's interesting that the trial of Jesus, it can be broken down into six different parts. And the first three parts are the religious trial. And so that's when he's before all the religious people. And last week we were with the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin is basically the high council or the high court of the Jews at the time. It was made up of 70 men and the high priest. And they had no power, though, to do to Jesus what they wanted to do. They wanted him to be put to death, but they couldn't do that. They didn't have that power within their own system. They had to have a good enough reason to bring him to Pilate, to a secular trial where the real power was so that they could do their dirty work for them. And so if you're with us last week, you remember Caiaphas is trying to get Jesus to say something that he could use against him, and they brought all these witnesses in, and their testimony, it didn't line up. Like, they couldn't even lie correctly. And we've all done this before, haven't we? You start to lie, and then you got to tell another lie, and then another lie, and it gets you in a big mess. Well, that's what was happening to the witnesses. And finally, Caiaphas is so upset, and he says to Jesus, tell us plainly, are you the Messiah, the Son of God? And Jesus replies, he says, it is as you say. And then he adds this addendum, which is great. And you will see the Son of Man sitting next to the Father on the clouds, coming down in all his power and glory. And Caiaphas starts ripping his clothes, and he says, there it is. We have all that we need. Blasphemy. What should we do to him? And the Sanhedrin all replies, he must be put to death, right? Crucify him. And so that's what they needed then to move him over to Pilate. And so now we enter into the secular time in his trial, and this is where Jesus goes silent. The leading priests and the elders made their accusations against him, and Jesus remained silent. So, was he pleading the fifth? Was Jesus saying, you know what, I didn't do this. What was the reason why Jesus was silent? That's where it gets so interesting. We read on, don't you hear all these charges they are bringing against you? Pilate demanded, but Jesus made no response to any of the charges, much to the governor's surprise. And so even as I was working through this text this week, I didn't write the sermon this morning, okay, I promise you. Even as I was working my way through the text this week, it kept hitting me. It kept nudging me again and again. Like, Jesus, why don't you just say something? Like, it's frustrating. You don't deserve this, Jesus. Why don't you just speak up? And it's surprising even to Pilate. Like, would you just say something? I know that you're innocent, but Jesus doesn't. And his silence is not because he's pleading the fifth. He's doing exactly the opposite. His silence is allowing him to take upon himself the very things that he does not deserve. And he's taking all the accusations. He's taking all the false witness. It's a way of saying he's taking all the sin of the world upon himself, even if it means he has to suffer the consequences for them. And as Jesus does this, he's doing it out of love for us, right? His silence is out of his love for us. Gene, the Vikings are calling you about season tickets. All right, here we go, all right? And as Pilate is dealing with Jesus, he knows that he's innocent. And so he thinks to himself, there's got to be a way, right, where we can get Jesus out of the situation. If he's not going to speak up for himself, I'm going to do something to speak for him. And that's where Barabbas comes on the scene. So they had this tradition, right, every year where Pilate would let a criminal go. And so he thinks of the most notorious sinner that's there, the most notorious criminal that's being held, and he thinks to himself, if I can bring him out and compare him to Jesus, then certainly what are they going to do? They're going to choose Jesus. And so here comes Barabbas. And I love how the text describes him, a notorious criminal. He was a notorious criminal. He was a murderer and an insurrectionist. And so you have murderer and insurrectionist guy, and you have Jesus, who they can't figure out anything wrong with him guy. And Pilate says, which one do you want me to give to you? And of course, what do the people say? Barabbas. And Pilate even argues with them. Look at the text again closely. He even argues with them. He's trying to defend Jesus. Like, seriously? Why do you want Barabbas? You have to be kidding me. This isn't right. This is not how it was supposed to go. And my wife's going to be mad at me too. So please choose Jesus. And all the louder, what do? Crucify him. Barabbas. It's incredible. And I'm guessing most of you have heard this more than once. But really let it settle in tonight. Let it settle in that Jesus, in the face of that, is silent. Pilate grabs a bowl of water. He washes his hands. Of course, the symbolism is I'm washing my hands of this. I'm giving it away. And he says, I'm innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours. And all the people yelled back, and I actually heard some of you gasp during the reading. And this is gasp worthy. We will take responsibility for his death. We and our children. And they didn't know how true those words were. Because they and their children are responsible for the death of Jesus. But here's the thing. We are also their children. We are their children. And as Jesus silently sat there, he took responsibility for our sin. He took responsibility for our brokenness. And he said, I want to freely bear the cost of that for you. That's why I stayed silent. And it's precisely because Jesus stayed silent that we can't, and that we won't. It's because he stayed silent that we will fight for those who can't speak for themselves, that we will seek justice where there is injustice in the broken places of our world, that we will help the poor, and we will help the helpless. Because that's exactly what Jesus did for us by staying silent. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your silence. You deserve to speak up. You had every right to speak up. There was no sin found in you. And even as we seek justice in this world, we know there are times where we won't get it. And in those moments, we're invited to look to you on the cross, the sinless, silent Lamb of God. And as we see your sacrifice for us, we see all the justice we will ever need. And so open our hearts to receive that in places that are broken tonight, in places where we've sought big justice and haven't received it. Remind us that in the cross, we have everything that we need. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your silence that shows your deep, deep love for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.